all the firefighters from the Port of Seattle kind of all got together and just ran over it without skipping a beat or anything like that. Seeing that type of teamwork and seeing that camaraderie.
Hello and welcome. I am Neil Zipser, Industry Affairs Manager at the Knox Company. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Knox and Friends. The air transportation industry has rebounded from the COVID-19 travel dip, with the number of global commercial airline flights projected to reach nearly 34 million in 2022. With more than 3 billion passengers flying each year, they can be assured that aircraft rescue and firefighting personnel are working to protect life and property at and around airports. In this episode, I have a conversation with Jason Schnazzi of the Seattle Airport, who is also the chair of the Aircraft Rescue and Firefighting Working Group. He provides an educational overview about ARF and the role and importance of airport firefighter and rescue professionals. Hello and welcome to Knox and Friends. Quick thanks to our listeners for the positive feedback we continue to receive on our Knox and Friends podcast. And one of the most frequent comments that we receive is that we continue to meet an unfilled niche for important fire service issues and topics that typically do not get a lot of exposure. And today's podcast is no exception. I was returning from a recent conference last month, and I noticed from my plane, the first responders in action on the runway next to the one I was on. Our crew mentioned there was nothing to worry about, and they were right, but it was a good reminder of the importance of first responders at airports throughout the U.S. and really the world. My first exposure to the ARF group was a couple years ago. ARF is the acronym for Aircraft Resource and Firefighting, a type of firefighting that involves emergency response, mitigation, evacuation, and rescue of passengers and crew of aircraft involved in aviation accidents and incidents. Every day, there are thousands of specialized ARF professionals throughout the world working to protect airports and the millions of passengers traveling each day. So thank you to all the ARF members out there. The leading organization for ARF professionals is called the ARF Working Group. And joining us today is Jason Schnazzi, chair of the ARF Working Group. Jason is also the battalion chief of training and safety for the Port of Seattle Fire Department. He joined the fire department in 2003 and currently works in the training division, leading recruit academies, in-service training, and research and development. He's also the current chair of the Port of Seattle Fire Department Safety Committee. Welcome, Jason, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Neil. It's a pleasure.
I'd like to start each podcast learning more about each guest. When did you know you want to be in the fire service, and what influenced you to make that decision?
That's a good question. I think everybody, you know, in the fire service, a lot of people say they want to help folks. They want to give back to their community. And I think that that's a part of it. But growing up, I grew up in a neighborhood where my best friend's dad was a firefighter. He actually transitioned out here to the Pacific Northwest from New York City. So being around him and learning about the fire service really kind of influenced me to want to go that direction and at least see what it was all about. And I see that one of the questions coming up is about aircraft rescue firefighting. And I work for a department that's specifically aircraft rescue firefighting. So I actually had to focus on and try to get hired on by that department. And really the big piece for me on that was my best friend's dad was the fire chief at the current organization I work at. And I went to one of the union picnics. It was back in the early 90s when I was a bit younger, but I went with my best friend. And it was up here in the Pacific Northwest on one of the lakes we have up here. It's called Lake Sammamish. And there are seaplanes and boats and everything that kind of utilize that lake. And right next to where we were having the union picnic, right next to the park, a seaplane came down and actually landed a little bit too close to shore and hit a bulkhead right in front of a house. So all the firefighters from the Port of Seattle kind of all got together and just ran over there without skipping a beat or anything like that. Seeing that type of teamwork and seeing that camaraderie and how they, you know, went from just a backyard barbecue to now jumping into action and going to that aircraft. So that really carried me into the aviation side of it, learning about the fire service at a young age and then seeing that incident play out in real life. And then I was lucky enough to get hired on by the Port of Seattle. And I've been here ever since. And very, very happy with my decision.
Sounds good. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority, mandates ARF operations at all U.S. airports that serve scheduled passenger air carriers. Can you explain that requirement and what it means for personnel at airports?
Yeah, so the FAA looks at the airport and the type of aircraft that use that airport. And what they're specifically looking at is the length of an aircraft. And they utilize that length, and then they look at 5 average daily departures for that longest aircraft. And what that does is then it translates into an index of an airport. And what index is, it starts at index A and goes through index E. Index A being the smallest type of aircraft flying into an airport, index E being the largest, the A380s, the 777s. And what that means for us in the fire department is that comes with agent capabilities, meaning water, foam, dry chemical, Halotron, clean agent, and how many trucks we have to have in service at any given time to be able to go out and respond to that emergency. So the big thing for us is just being able to get to the midpoint of the furthest runway from where our station is currently located, and being able to get there with the agent requirements, the minimum agent requirements that the FAA requires based off the length of the aircraft, and then discharging that agent once we get there.
Sounds good. Let's change gears a little bit and talk about the ARF working group. Who are its members? What's the mission? And how has the organization evolved over the past few years?
That's a really good question, and I appreciate you asking about the ARF working group. The ARF working group today consists of over 250 different airports in 30 different countries. We currently have just over 1,900 members that are active members of the ARF working group. And then if you go to our social media page, we're followed by over 12,000 folks on social media. So our name is out there. And really the mission for us is pretty simple. It's to promote the science and improve the methods of aviation fire protection and prevention. So we want to get out there, we want to get our name out there, and we want to be a resource for anybody in the aviation industry worldwide. We do have board of director members from all over the world that represent Europe, Latin America, Malaysia, Canada, United States. So we're all over the world, and we want to be that point of contact for anybody that's looking for SMEs in the industry. We got about 2,000 of them, and those SMEs are very helpful and very passionate about aircraft rescue firefighting. And then how has it evolved over the past few years? We've seen a rapid increase in our membership. A lot of that is because of social media and the ability to get our name out there. A lot of that is word of mouth by members and word of mouth by our board of directors. So just getting out there and being that resource and showing worth to our members. And every year we try to give back more and more. The thing we're currently working on is relationships and making the ARF working group a living, breathing organization, if you will, so that our members always have that ability to reach out, or as a board of directors or members, we're ending up at different conferences, building different relationships. So it can affect the smallest airport because that name, Aircraft Rescue Firefighting, is out there and people recognize it and go talk to their local firefighters.
You know, I've had the pleasure of being at a couple of ARF working group events. And the first thing I want to say is just thank you to you and the board and really all the members. It's an organization that really the members go out of their way to make, the non-ARF people attending the show very welcome. So I want to thank you and ARF working group for that. But the one thing I really learned, the first takeaway I learned, and it continues to amaze me, is that no two airports are the same, especially when it comes to firefighting responsibilities. Some utilize their local fire department personnel, others operate autonomously, some are private, some are military. Can you explain the intricacies of how an airport operates when it comes to airport rescue and firefighting?
Absolutely. But I wanted to hit on one thing you said real quick, Neil, about, partnerships and relationships and from the corporate side of the world as well, like Knox and other vendors that we have or exhibitors and partners that we have at our symposiums. We take that very seriously. Actually, we have two board of director members, sections 12 and 13 on our board that are actually taken up by that we call corporate member. So we do take that very seriously, and thank you for bringing that up. When it comes to the intricacies of how we operate, different airports operate, an airport can be anything from a grass strip to an airport the size of Atlanta, one of the busiest airports in the world. And you're going to see a lot of different fire protection for each of those airports. You get up to the commercial airports where they're highly regulated by the FAA and the 139 requirements. And then you get to a small airport where they have corporate flights coming in and out. They have a flight school. They have, you know, a lot of different smaller aircraft, but they don't have a requirement by the FAA in order to have aircraft rescue firefighting on standby. So they're using their local mutual aid departments for that. And when it comes to the mutual aid departments, structural firefighters, mutual aid departments, very, very well-versed, very well-trained organizations, but aircraft rescue firefighting isn't the top of their list. So, you know, there's training out there as prescribed by NFPAs that those departments will go through, but they're not on an airfield like, say, you know, SeaTac or a Phoenix. They're not on that airfield constantly getting that training, operating in that environment. Military is completely different. They're driven off of DOD standards, so they're not regulated under the FAA. So they have their own standards when it comes to that. And really, you know, it's like I said earlier, it's driven off of the FAA standard is driven off of agent capabilities. So if you look at the minimum standard for the largest airport out there, Index E Airport, you're looking at three trucks with 6,000 gallons of water and a commensurate amount of foam and dry chem and all that. So personnel really isn't addressed in that. So now you got to look at each different type of airport and what their budgetary piece is, how they staff their airport, how many fire stations they have, response times and all of that. So it really varies as to what staffing is. I think Atlanta's up, and I'm going with rough numbers here, they have over 60 personnel on per day. They're an Index E airport. Here at SeaTac, we have 18 folks on per day. We both serve the same type size of aircraft, but because of the size of the airport and because of different budgetary implications and operations of the airport, we operate differently in the amount of personnel that we can put on the ground. Both airports are very well protected and would meet the requirement of any passenger out there flying, but Atlanta can handle a lot in-house. And here at SeaTac, we would have to really focus on mutual aid and our partnering departments coming in to help out. And what that really does for us is we really have to work with them prior to go out and do training and, you know, get them on the airfield so that they know the ins and outs of our airfield. So if there ever was an emergency, we're all on the same sheet of music.
And the ARF Working Group, when did you get involved with the group and what influenced your decision when it came to joining the board?
So I got involved with the ARF Working Group back in 2011. It was actually down in Miami-Dade, down in Florida, and it was an excellent symposium on aircraft familiarization. And it was so well put together. I had never attended a conference. I'd never attended a symposium where I learned so much in my fire service career. And what the big piece for me on it was they actually got together with a flight school. And in order to learn about general aviation aircraft, they put us through a ground school, a very watered down ground school. And then they put two of us and a instructor pilot into an aircraft. And we got to go out and fly that little general aviation Cessna aircraft and learn about, you know, everything from ground school to takeoff to landing. And I was so blown away by that it was just a huge impact in my career, my life, as to learning about and the different ways to learn about my job. And then as I kept going to those conferences, I got to know more and more people. Like you said earlier, Neil, all the members of the ARF Working Group are a big family. Everybody knows each other very well. We're all there. We're, you know, the fire service is a small industry in itself. And then you put the aviation fire service, which is even smaller. So we all know each other very well, and we all talk, and I learned a little bit more about the workings of the ARF working group. And I saw, you know, maybe a void in my career path that or my learning that I could fill with attempting or going out to be on the board of directors. And I was lucky enough through Chief Mathis down at Port of Portland. He kind of mentored me and asked if I would take over as one of the board of director members for Section 6, which is the Pacific Northwest area. I didn't know quite what I was getting into, but I jumped on the board and I got voted in by the membership, which is outstanding. It still amazes me, but I'm very thankful for that. And then as working with the board, I moved up to treasurer, and the last year, I'm into my second year of being chair. It's just the group of people that the caliber of people that are on the board of directors. It's just a privilege to work with them and get to learn from them every day. So like I said, it filled that career void that I was looking for when it came to larger management style.
We talked about how each airport is different, but I'm guessing that most of the challenges stay the same. What are some of the biggest challenges today impacting our working group members?
I think it's communication, and in the firefighting world in general, we're all very proud. A lot of folks are type A personalities. We're very proud of what we do. We take a lot of pride in training. We take a lot of pride in problem solving and serving our community. And with that, I think that there's a little bit of, and rightfully so, we can handle whatever gets thrown our way. And a byproduct of that could be a little bit of siloing ourselves. I mean, you see firefighters at an open house. You see firefighters when they come to your kid's school, or you see them on your worst day. But other than that, there's not a lot of interaction with firefighters. And then when we have an emergency scene, you know, we coordinate off and we have all the lights and we say, stay away. So we're there for the public. We're always there to help. We're always a friendly face. But I think we've siloed ourselves a little bit, especially in the airport world. And that comes with some challenges when it comes to a unified front when we're going out to address an emergency, especially on the airfield. Ground operations, maintenance, airlines, airport operations all have their own specialties that are very, very helpful in mitigating an emergency on an airfield and getting that airfield back up and operating as quickly as possible after, you know, whatever emergency event it is. And through a unified command stance and having everybody in that command post with one incident commander, it really helps out to mitigate that incident. And I think that's what we're working towards in the industry with the relationships that we're building and the relationships that we're really pushing for in the ARF working group is to make ARF a household name in the aviation world, just much like environmental or airport operations is, so that we break those walls down from around ourselves that we've created, and we put ourselves in the conversations prior to the emergency so that we all work together when the emergency happens. Not saying that there's been an incident out there where it hasn't gone the way that it is supposed to, but we always strive to get better. And I think that this is an area where just breaking those walls down and having folks, say from an airport operations, we talk to them at a symposium and they go back and they're like, hey, we learned this thing at the ARF working group. And now they start talking to their local airport fire department and getting that dialogue going. That's what we really want, is that to live outside of symposiums and people in the aviation industry to have that interest in the airport fire department and go ask the questions of what happens if, hey, here's our role, what's your role? And that's really, I think, where the biggest challenge is today that we're really trying to overcome.
ARF professionals also have a hand in security and locks around the airport, as well as rapid access. Your airport recently had a garage fire, I believe, where the standpipes were compromised and that affected water pressure. Can you share any details about that incident?
Yeah, it was up on the fourth floor of our garage, and that's where we have, it's basically our premium floor, and that's where you have direct access to the terminal. And our garage is situated in such a way that it's kind of open air, so each floor has a hip wall around it, And then it's just open air movement through that. And it's 8 floors stacked on top of one another. Our crews got up there. It was very, very low visibility. And as they were going up, they were noticing that some of the standpipes were either turned on and they had been cranked open so hard that they couldn't get them closed, or the water pressure behind it was making it tough to close them. And when they got to the fire floor and plugged in to the standpipe, they noticed a whole bunch of water leaking from above. And typically, you know, you would run every single floor. It would be a typical tactic, go every single floor and make sure that your standpipe is shut down before you hook up and start doing fire attack. That didn't happen in this case. And we were getting water coming down our stairwells, and it really reduced the amount of flow that we were getting out of the nozzle on the fire floor. So just the tampering of it from general public and or, you know, folks going out there and doing a test on it and not securing it afterwards was the issue for us on that one.
Since 1975, Knox has developed rapid access products that increase security and accountability for doors, padlocks, electronic gates, and other interior and perimeter areas. As a firefighter, will you explain the importance of knowing who has access to what, especially around an airport, and the benefits of effectively managing the ingress process?
Yeah, around the airport, the big piece for us is security, maintaining security of that airport at all times. So that's a key piece that we keep in the back of our mind. And also when it comes to whether it's a fire, whether it's a CPR, first aid type of call, there's sometimes that seconds or minutes matter. And if you're not managing the ingress process, either for yourself or mutual aid, those seconds can get away from you, and that incident can take a negative turn. But like I said, here at the airport, it's really managing that security risk when we make access.
And speaking of security, ARF working group members have to deal, I'm sure, with Department of Homeland Security and the FAA on a regular basis. What is that relationship like, and is it a good working relationship with them?
Yeah, we partner very well with the FAA. The FAA from the ARF specialist side and the technical center out of Atlantic City, they, as well as some inspectors from different regions around the country, they come to our symposiums on a regular basis. They present at our symposiums on a regular basis. And they're just a phone call away for us. So the FAA partnership is just that. It's a partnership. I think that, you know, they are our regulators, but we have a good relationship that we can have conversations before anything bad happens. And we're all on the same sheet of music when changes are coming up and all of that. Department of Homeland Security, I have not seen them at a symposium lately, and actually that brings up a good point. I should probably reach out to them and see if we can't get them in. But relationships in general, when we're looking at international type of relationships, we work with Airport Fire Officers Association out of the United Kingdom, IFALPA, which is the International Association of Fire Prevention, out of Malaysia, as well as AAAE here in the United States, and then IAAE, which is the International Associate of AAAE. We work with all those groups on an information sharing basis so that, you know, information that we're getting here in the United States, we can pass over to our, you know, our partners on the other side of the world. And likewise, they share information with us as well. We attend their conferences, they attend ours. So the more we can have those relationships and talk before the event happens, the better off we are when it's somebody's worst day. We have somebody that we can give a call on the phone. We have somebody out there that can mentor. We have somebody that's there, you know, for an after action. The relationships, like I've written in some of them, are written in some of my chair messages, are the basis of what I believe is a strong organization, and we're really, really working on that in the ARF working group.
Finally, Jason, how can airport rescue firefighting personnel and companies that serve ARF professionals become involved in the ARF working group?
Thank you for bringing that up as well. We're always looking to build the organization stronger, and the only way we can do that is through membership and folks out there in the aviation industry. So if you went to our webpage, which is www.arffwg.org, there's three different membership types. There's a corporate member, and that corporate member is anybody who has any dealings in the ARF world or the aviation world that can specifically relate to aircraft rescue firefighting. You can sign up as a corporate member. Like I said, at that point in time, there are two board of director spots for the corporate members. We also have an individual membership where anybody out there, you can sign up and be an individual member of the ARF working group, or we have organizational memberships. If you're part of an airport or an organization, you can sign up as an organization for that. You get a specific amount of voting members when it comes to bylaws and all that. We're also looking at potentially in the future adding an industry piece to the ARF working group. I think one of the bigger pieces through relationships and some of the stuff we've talked about today is industry being flight crews, cabin crews, ground operations, maintenance, having them more involved in the aircraft rescue firefighting and potentially on the board of directors could have a very big impact in the ARF world, having that that piece for us. So yeah, if you go out to www.arffwg.org, there's a lot of information for us out there, or my email is chair@arfworkinggroup.org, arffwg.org.
Great. Well, thanks, Jason, for your time. I always find talking about airports extremely interesting. Best wishes to you and the entire ARF working group.
Thank you, Neil. We really appreciate your partnership in this and allowing us to come on here with you today.